Good morning. Though I don't have the right words, I feel like I really want to say something. When the Lord calls home one of his sheep, it's difficult on us. But with those announcements we heard, aren't we so grateful for what the Lord has done for his children, that we can have a hope and we can rejoice for them, even though we struggle through those things? If you would, open your Bibles with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to read a portion of scripture here of an Old Testament story. And before I do so, I want to give you the title of my message: Which God is God? Which God, lowercase g, is God, capital G? And we'll start here in verse 17 of 1 Kings chapter 18. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions or two thoughts? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning and even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as could contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. The question, which God is God, is answered very clearly in this story. And I wanted to read the whole story so everyone knew the outcome. In case you hadn't heard it, as we go through this and look at a few different points in it, no one can argue which of these two gods was God. In verse 21, the question is presented to everyone. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions or two thoughts? How long are you going to look at these two things and go back and forth? How long is it going to take before you actually make a decision, before you figure this out? He says, If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people didn't answer a word. They didn't know the answer. Or they were confused. They needed to be it proven to them. And that's what the Lord did here. Elijah, in verse 23 and 24, set what the Lord had given him to show these people the answer. Verse 23 says, Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let the followers of Baal, they're going to give us the two bullocks. And everything here, he's presenting it. The prophets of Baal are going to do everything. They make all the choices. There's no way at the end of this we can say, Well, you tricked us. You did something here. So the prophets of Baal would choose the two bullocks. Let them choose which one they want. They can do it how they want. They can lay on wood, and the only thing, they just can't have any fire. And I'll dress the other bullock and lay it under the wood and put no fire. And in verse 24, And you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. I love this as, And the God, capital G, that answereth by fire. Elijah's here saying, Only a true God can answer by fire here. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Now, we have a few things that we need to figure out. When we ask this question, which God is God? This is a question that the entire world needs to answer. All of these people that are here, they called all the people of Israel. And this is in Mount Carmel, where this is in kind of a valley with mountains all around it. And it said, all the people of Israel came about. Now these people, as we have talked about in past stories through all these chapters, had seen a lot of evidence of who the true God was. There are so many stories and so many examples that had been given them that showed who God was. Yet it seemed every time something came up or the next generation came along, they would just meander some direction or be fooled by some other temptation. And we can't be hard on them. How often do we just, if someone looked at our thoughts and even our words, our actions, would they look at us and think, they sure don't look like somebody who believes in God? We can't be harsh on them, and they're not our focus of this story. Instead, I want us to answer this question, us to look at what happens here, and do we really believe which God is God? Are we worshiping the true and living God? In verse 19, He says, Send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. All of them. The first point is this. Everyone will see the truth. All of Israel was watching this. And as we read the end of the story, there was no doubt what the answer was. Every human will eventually find out the truth. Now, if our God, if the Lord determines to make it clear to us, then we will see it. If not, we just won't. That's our only hope. We would be just like these, all these people. And I'll be honest, I think a lot of these people believed on the Lord. But they had been misguided. They had been led astray. And thankfully, the Lord does what He does here. He gives us an example. He shows us. He opens our eyes. Now, it may not always be a huge scene as this one was. But so many times the Lord does something, and so often it's just this little nudge that we're kind of crooked and he just nudges us back, and we don't even realize he's done it to us. But it says, everyone will see the truth. Now, if he doesn't show us, then what will happen is what happened to these prophets of Baal. If we are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will perish. But eventually, everyone will see the truth. Everyone will. In verse 22, it says, then said Elijah unto the people, I only, one person, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. The number of people doesn't matter. It was irrelevant that one person was worshiping the Lord and 450 were prophets of Baal. It didn't matter. The numbers don't matter. In our world today, there are billions of people, billions with a B, who believe on so many different gods. But the numbers don't matter. Our God is God. And the number of followers has no bearing on his authority or his power. And something else that doesn't matter. Look at verse 25. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, dress it, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And look at this. And they took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped, or they leaped up and down on the altar which they had made. Our actions toward God do not have any bearing on the power of God and his authority. Just because these people were jumping all over the altar, screaming, hooping, hollering, doing all these different things, that had no bearing on the power of their God. Likewise, anything we do, it has no bearing on the power of God. Look in verse 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking or he's pursuing or he's in a journey or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. Elijah here is so confident in the lack of power of their God and likewise so confident in the power of the true and living God that he mocks them here. And what I want us to take from this is that Elijah's faith in his God had no bearing on the power of God. Now, hear what I'm saying. Our faith, our belief, or lack thereof, has no bearing on the power of our God. And that's important, because if our faith mattered, then our lack of faith would also matter. And that scares me to death, that my lack of faith or belief would have effect on the ability or the omniscience of our God. It doesn't. Our God is in control and in power no matter what we think or what we believe. Look in verse 28. And these prophets cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Our devotion, the devotion of these men, had no bearing on the power of their God. It doesn't matter how strongly you believe in your God. It has no bearing on the power of God. These men, it seemed, truly believed that Baal was God. They seemed to believe that he could do what they had asked of him. But he obviously couldn't. And their power had no, their devotion had no effect on it. And likewise, and I know this sounds odd to say things like, our faith and our belief and our devotion and our actions and all that stuff have no bearing on the power of our God, because we want to believe. We want to have faith. And the scripture tells us, believe and thou shalt be saved. But that has no bearing on the power and authority and salvation that we get in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is God. The God of this Bible, the God of Israel, is in control. He does what he will, when he will, to whom he will. And we're thankful for that. That's what gives us hope. This God that is so often preached in religion that needs help or can't do everything or he goes all this way but you need to take the last step, all those kind of things, they give me no hope whatsoever, because I've been in a lot of situations in my life where I was just one little step away from finishing something and I didn't ever do it. I won't do it. I can't do it. But our God is able. Look at verse 29. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering at the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer, nor any that regarded. It did not matter how long these men and women spoke and prayed and asked of their God. It did not give him power. It says from the beginning of the day until the sun went down, they screamed and they yelled and they hooped and they hollered and did all this kind of stuff, and it had no bearing, and it did not change who their God was. Their God, Baal, had no power in the authority underneath our God. Even if this God of theirs, Baal, little g, could do things, when pitted against our God, capital G, he's helpless. He can't do anything. The definition of the word God implies there can only be one. It doesn't matter how many are created, how many pretenders, how many imitators, because it just keeps coming. Every generation, another methodology, theology, opinion, something comes up to maybe change something to where more people would believe it. But nothing ever changes about our God. Let me give you an illustration to try to emphasize what I'm saying. If I were to change the question here, and I simply asked something, and I said, what is my middle name? That's a question no one in here is confused about. There's nobody in here that doesn't understand what I'm asking. Yet, if we took a vote and everybody said what they thought, is my middle name the most common answer? Maybe, but it doesn't make it the answer. If someone stood up and believed with all their heart they knew what my middle name was, does that make that the answer? No. If someone started acting crazy and promising everybody and being the loudest person in here saying they knew what it was, does that make that the answer? Nothing that anyone does can change that answer to that question. My middle name is what it is. I was given that name before I was born, and that's my name. And this is the answer to the question. It doesn't matter what any of us do, what any of us say, what any of us think. God is God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God of this Bible, is in control, and he does everything. Now, my middle name is Luke. And everyone in here knew that. Knew the answer to that question, though you didn't know you knew the answer to the question. A lot of you didn't. Everyone in this world has heard the name of God. Everyone has heard it. But unless the Lord opens our eyes, unless he himself shows it to us, we're just blind. We just can't do it. And thankfully, in his mercy and his grace, he opens the eyes of his children. He doesn't have to do that. But because of how wonderful he is, he chose a people to save. And he did all of it. He did everything for them. Look here in verse 33. And Elijah put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Elijah did something that I'm sure no one could believe he was doing. He was standing before a sacrifice, getting ready to try to prove to all these people who God was. And instead of doing something miraculous where he could create fire out of nothing, he started putting water on top of it. And if you've ever tried to light a fire on a wet piece of wood, it just doesn't happen. But he kept putting water on and kept putting water on to where he filled a trench around the whole thing. And he kept doing that. And what we need to see from that is so wonderful. There is nothing that someone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and believes in God can do to prevent the sacrifice. We can't mess it up. We can't accidentally mess it up. We can't, as Elijah is doing here, we can't intentionally mess it up. And we do that. We self-sabotage. It's so embarrassing sometimes, the things that we do. And I'll say myself, every once in a while, I'll get sour apples over something. Sour grapes, I'm saying the wrong expression, but somebody irks me a little bit, and my family knows this, and instead of just saying, you're right, I'm wrong, I'll just turn around and just do something silly. I'll just cut my nose off to spite my face. My parents said that when I was a kid. I used to do that stuff. I would get in trouble, and if I just said I was sorry, I was fine. And I would sit in my room grounded for weeks instead of just saying I was sorry. I mean, it's just a silly and dumb thing to do. But that's what we do. We self-sabotage. And thankfully, we get so many examples of the scripture of this. We cannot have any negative effect or positive effect on the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, for somebody who believes that he died for them, that is such wonderful news. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect, complete, and finished. And we can't do anything about it. Look at verse 36. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. On multiple occasions, I've already made a comment about nothing we do has any effect on the power of God. Our God is God, and it has nothing to do with us. But now I'm going to say this. Our God answers the prayers of his children. Elijah looks at the Lord, looks to the Lord, and just says, Lord God of Abraham, he said, show these people that you are God. We can learn from the type of prayer here too. Elijah simply says, Lord, show them. Show your authority. Show your power to these people. Because that's all he wants. Every prophet of God, every preacher, every believer, everybody, what they just really want is they want the Lord to show other people who he is and what the Lord Jesus Christ did for his people. That's all we want. There's a lot of things to be said and a lot of ways to do it, but I always go back to the same prayer. Lord, will you save my family? Will you save my children? Will you save my friends? Will you save these people? That's what we want. That's all we want. And that's what Elijah's asking here. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. That's such a wonderful thing. And the Lord answers us. We can take that. When we ask the Lord, he'll answer prayers. Thankfully, he does what's right and what's best for us. And sometimes our prayers are answered in ways we don't get. We ask for so many things, and it seems like the exact opposite happens. But one day, when we don't see through the glass dimly, our eyes will be open, and we will be able to look and say, I can't, it is so glorious what the Lord did for me in that moment. I cried, I fretted, I was angry, and that was the best thing that ever could have happened to me. It's so wonderful that our Lord does what's best for his children. Look at verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. There was only one sacrifice that was accepted. There was only one sacrifice that was consumed. And this is a great picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary. His sacrifice was the only one needed, the only one accepted, and the only perfect sacrifice. In that, we have all that we need. In the same way that in this story, that sacrifice being consumed was the only thing that all of these people needed to believe and to see who was God. And that's our great evidence that what he did to show how much he loved us, that he gave his only begotten son to save a helpless, sinful group of people. And we rejoice in that. Look at verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And in every story in the scriptures and in everything that ever happens on this planet, everything that has ever happened to any man or woman or anybody, there's one common denominator every single time. God will get the glory. It seems often that that's not what's happening. It seems so often with the religious world and so many things that happen, but God will get the glory in all things. This story right here, the only thing all the people could say was over and over again, the Lord, He is the God. That's who He is. And let's look at verse 40 and let's finish. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. No one that is outside the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ will survive. They won't escape. The only salvation, the only hope that anyone has is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way we'll be there is if He puts us there. We can't take any credit in the same way that all these people that were standing around, they'd been led astray, they'd been misguided, they didn't know what to think, they were confused, all of this. No one would ever give any of them any credit in this story, in the same way that we would never get any credit or anything in our salvation in the Lord. We look to Him, we believe on Him because of what the Lord did to us. The examples we have in the Scripture and the things that the Lord and that our God has done for us is the only reason that we believe. And we pray that the Lord would continue to show us who He is. We need reminders. We need what these people needed. We need the Lord to turn us. We need when we get astray, and that's only because He allows us. He takes His hand off for a moment and we just take off running the wrong direction, for Him to take us and just pull us in close again. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to realize that in Him we have everything, and that the God of this book, the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, everything we read in here, He is God, capital G, and He is the only God. And what that means is He is in control. He has everything. The world is His. He created it. He created us. And everything is in His hand. And how grateful we are that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have salvation that we have no part in. And it's so important, finally, that we find every bit of joy in this world comes from what we have been taught in Him. Everything we do, we need to continue to look to this, because that's where we get astray. We find our happiness, we find our joy in so many things of this world, whatever it may be. And that's where we get lost and led away. Look to the Lord. Look to the God of this book, the God of the Bible, and we'll find everything that we want, that we need, our desires, everything is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right.